And let all God's people say, amen. Thank you. And also, here's a test for the rest of the congregation to see how good a shepherd's you would make. Was Master Sergeant Shep weird or not weird? Weird. That's the right answer. Yes. Well, while the big box stores don't want you to wait for Christmas, Advent is a season of waiting. But it's not just any kind of waiting. It's like waiting on the edge of your seat. It's like waiting in the delivery room. It's like waiting to get your scores for your finals. It's waiting with anticipation and energy. And the Israelites knew a thing or two about waiting. They had been waiting for the Messiah for 600 years. And for reference, that's more than 2.5 times the age of the United States of America. There are two less than helpful ways to wait. One is to be like the kid in the car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That gets annoying after 5 minutes, let alone 600 years. And the other less than helpful way to wait is to just give up and to say, we'll never get there. But however you are waiting during this season of Advent, and whatever you're waiting for, wait with godly anticipation. This year we are going to look at the important elements of the Nativity and how we can reclaim them in our lives today. We already heard in our first reading from Jesus about the need to keep awake, to be ready for God's surprising movement. And now we're going to rewind and see something very similar from the prophet Isaiah several hundred years before Jesus. Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you and your ways. But you were angry when we sinned, because you hid yourself, we transgressed. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, they used to say that you could tell a lot about a person and what matters to a person by looking at their checkbook. Ever heard of that phrase? Well, I don't think that's totally true anymore for two reasons. One is that checkbooks are an endangered species. And second, we have something else on us, many of us at least, that tell us far more about what matters to us. I speak, of course, of the smartphone. For instance, let me tell you, if you were to look at the history on my smartphone from this morning, or just about any morning, you would see a very similar morning routine. My morning typically starts around 5 a.m. That's the earliest we let Charlie out of his room. He would start it much earlier if he could. And so, you know, I'll make breakfast for Charlie and sit down to eat mine. And immediately, out comes the smartphone. Any guess what kind of website I go to first? It's not going to surprise you. Not Star Wars, geeky websites, though. We'll round up with that answer. So, of course, in fact, I have two nerd websites that I check before anything else. Then I get to, you know, more important things like ESPN, and then a couple of news websites, which ones depend on my mood of the day and what phase the moon is in. And some days I don't get to do all of this at once, though. You know, some days I'm playing, you know, basketball, it takes a few hours, you know, to get to the routine. Or some days, you know, the kids are just generally cantankerous, and that interrupts this ability to check it. But you know what? I always get those websites in every day. Always. Sometimes, some of those websites I check more than once a day. Any websites you check every single day, or maybe a newspaper, or certain shows or news channels? What makes it into your routine every single day, come hell or high water? What makes it always into your routine? You know what doesn't make it into my schedule every single day? My Bible devotions. I can admit it. Anyone else willing to admit that here in church? It's okay. You're in good company. Everyone else is just lying. And you're going to have to confess that now. In fact, I can confess to you that I have once gone 6 months in between entries in my journal, in my spiritual journal. But I can guarantee you I have never gone 6 months without checking those websites. I haven't gone 6 days. Some of those websites, I may not go 6 hours without checking. So why is it an acceptable excuse that, you know, if something interrupts my routine, well, that's okay, I'll skip my devotions today. That's a good excuse, even though I get all those websites in every single day. Or maybe I'm really tired. The kids, you know, kept us up. That happens a lot. And so I'm just too tired to read the Bible and reflect on it today. But you know what? I'm never too tired to check ESPN.com. That is kind of funny, don't you think? I mean, don't get me wrong. The latest news from the hardware hacking world is absolutely essential to daily life. But ESPN isn't. Probably. I managed to fit time in for so many voices that aren't the creator of the universe. Why don't I make such time to hear his voice? Our Isaiah text says, from ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. In other words, you can't hear anything like what God is going to say. You can't get that anywhere else. You can't see anything like God wants to show you. In fact, Isaiah says to God, you did awesome deeds we did not expect. We literally cannot imagine what God is going to do. We can't expect it. No one expected the Messiah to be born next to a bunch of animals. No one expected the Messiah to be poor, unrecognized, unnoticed, except for by some very perceptive foreigners. At the earlier service today, I sang a song at the offering that says, that talks about these shepherds, and it says, the shepherds wondered. They couldn't hide it. They told everyone in sight. And all were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. No one expected God to speak to shepherds and be silent to the rulers and the priests. In other words, if we don't spend time to check God's website, we can't possibly guess what he's going to do. If we don't listen to God's news, there's no way we can know what he's going to say. If we don't read God's newspaper, we can't possibly guess what he's going to show us. If we don't listen for the voice of the creator of the universe, we are missing out on the most important thing we could possibly hear today. What could be more applicable than a direct message from the living God? That's more important than knowing how many games Aqib Talib got suspended for the fight during the Bronco game. 2, by the way, later reduced to 1. God's voice is more important than knowing the prices for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, if you can believe it. And even further out there, God's voice is more important than knowing if Prince Harry will cause scandal in Britain by proposing to his American girlfriend. Yes, by the way. What is more important than hearing God's voice? As we approach the Nativity, every step along the way was filled with a surprising revelation from God. There was an angel chorus. There were shepherds and animals. There was Mary, you're going to be pregnant. And Joseph, don't leave her for it. If you listen to God's voice, you will hear, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, awesome deeds that you did not expect. Is that something you want to hear? What do you need to hear from God right now? Where do you need to hear a word from God that you did not expect? Where do you need a way forward where all you see are obstacles and walls and barriers? Or where do you need Jesus' peace which surpasses understanding? If you have any of those needs, how will you listen to the voice of the Creator? If you desire that word from God, how will you make the time for that? Even if you're tired, even if it's not convenient in your schedule, if you want insight from the Creator of the universe who says things that no ear has perceived and no eye has seen, how will you listen? Let me tell you, one of my best excuses for skipping my personal devotional time. In fact, let me rewind to our new member class to illustrate this. As part of the new member class, I always show them my devotional method, and this method has, you know, readings for every single day of the year, except on a leap year. Then you get one whole day off, so you can enjoy that once every 4 years. So what I do is I have everyone in class, we pick one day, and I have them I have them journal on one of those days, just one day out of the seven in between the two classes. And they have this opportunity to do their journal. But for this last class, the plan had us reading either from Ezekiel or Revelation. Those were the options. So you could choose between a section titled God's Acts of Vengeance in Ezekiel, or you could read about the mysterious seven thunders in Revelation. Yay, those are your great spiritual options. I know all of you would be excited to journal on those two options. The class read those and mostly came out with a deep theological sense of, huh? Those aren't inspiring like the Gospels, right? Those aren't soul-filling like the Psalms. And those aren't even like an interesting story like Exodus. Those are just confusing. Sometimes it is hard to hear God's voice. Sometimes it is hard to hear what God is saying, especially in those confusing parts of the Bible. Sometimes it's hard to hear God, if you can believe it, even while you're reading Perez, the father of Hezron, Hezron, the father of Aram, Aram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Everyone got some spiritual growth out of that, right? And so here it is, one of my best excuses. In fact, my number one two-seam fastball over the middle of the plate, my best excuse for skipping devotions is, I'm probably not going to hear from God today. Anyone ever use that excuse? The reading is kind of confusing. It's a bunch of begats. I can skip it today. God won't be speaking to me probably today. I can go back to my normal news. Here's the problem with that excuse, though. In our first text today, Jesus is talking probably about the day of his second coming when he returns after ascending to heaven, and he says this. He says, about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. If you're ever at an Irish pub for trivia night, and the trivia question is there anything Jesus didn't know? The answer is apparently yes, the time of his second coming. That's crazy to think about. But I think that encouragement that he gives to stay awake, to keep alert, to be on our toes, that applies every single day. Because maybe today is the day that God decides to speak to me, even through the seven thunders of Revelation. I don't know whether today is the day. Maybe today is the day that God will speak to me, even through that genealogy. Maybe today is the day that God speaks to me through whatever part of the Bible I happen to be in. I don't know when God is planning to speak to me. I don't know if today is the day that Jesus wants to reveal something to my heart. I don't know if today is the day that the Holy Spirit wants to give me a fresh vision. What if today is the day? And I decided to skip it. If we want to hear from the Creator of the universe, Jesus says, keep alert. Stay awake. Don't let today be the day that we fall asleep at the spiritual wheel. Make the time to check in with the living God. We listen to so many other voices. Why not make time for that one? We make time to drink in so many voices that aren't the Holy Spirit. We make time to hear from so many voices that aren't the Messiah. This Advent season, as we approach the Nativity, how can we be on the edge of our seats waiting for a word from God, to hear something, to hear awesome deeds that we did not expect? And if we're going to be waiting, how can we be alert? How can we be listening? How will you listen to God this week and this Advent? Amen.